Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Friday to you. I hope wherever you are, you're nice and dry. Arizona here, Tempe, we're drying out. We had 4 or 5 days of nice rain, so we're all happy before the fall comes. But great, we have a great guest today. You know, he's going to talk to us about something that goes on, has been going on for years and years and years, dating. Dating the right person. How do you find the person you want? How do you, you know, and he has told a little bit of his story. You know, you had a date, you thought things were going well, all of a sudden the person says goodbye. Don't want to see you anymore. You know, is it, do you get to a point where if you're friends with that person, you get into that friend zone and then all of a sudden you can't date? Because now you're in a friend and you've heard it before. It's like, well, no, we're too good of friends. We can't date. What do you do then? Because you're really attracted to the person. Doesn't that drive you crazy? So you kind of get shy about becoming too friendly because now you're getting that friend zone. That makes it all worse, you know? So he's written a guide from his experience to help us out. The Great Dance of Love by George Ehrman. Great guide. Kind of gives you some tips on how to get things going and how to make it last. You know, I'm going to ask some questions like, how do you do it when you're over 50? Where do you go? What do you do to get somebody you want? And how do you make it last? Well, further ado, let's welcome to the show the author of The Great Dance of Love, Mr. George Ehrman. Hello, George. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Hollis. Thank you so much for this wonderful introduction. Hi, everyone.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thanks a lot. I mean, you know, dating scene, as you know, has been around so long. You know, the dating stuff online and all the books out there and stuff like that. But you got a wonderful little guide here. I think it can kind of help us out. So, without going into the questions, please introduce yourself and tell us about yourself and a little bit about your new guide.
Sure. My name is George, and before actually being friend-zoned, as you were mentioning prior, I was actually doing something completely different. I was more into the marketing field and did a master's degree. But then I got friend-zoned by my ex-best friend, and I really wanted to find a solution. So after like a week of mourning and trying to understand what was happening, I said, okay, I've been into the personal development for quite some time. Why don't I find a solution to that? And so I decided to read more than 200 books, more than 1,200 plus articles, and I actually did an experiment to prove that all my theories were right. And so this is how the book came up, and in short, it was a beautiful journey that actually led me to find my life purpose.
So that's wonderful. Yeah, and, you know, the reading and stuff like that must have became your passion and stuff like that, the articles and stuff. Kind of give us a little tidbits of some of the things that surprised you, you know, because, again, the dating scene and all that kind of stuff, men and women, whatever, but opposite attracts. Kind of give us a little tidbit of what shocked you when you did your reading and research.
Sure. One of the things that actually, that shocked me was that we tend to see things from two perspectives. Either from the perspectives are either black or they're white. So it's like either opposites attract. In the example you gave, you said opposites attract, or people that are similar should be together. And for me, like, I did a lot of research, and I actually found out that it's not actually the answer. The answer is actually a blend of both. It's about being matched opposites. It's about being like opposites attract, and at the same time, similar people do attract each other. So it's not either or, it's both of them. So this was something of an aha moment for me.
That's wonderful. Yeah. You know, as you go through relationships and stuff like that, sometimes we get nervous about entering another relationship. Well, how do we prepare ourselves? I mean, I did this after I went through a divorce. You know, you kind of shell-shocked. You kind of timid now to get back out there. So I did, you know, I'm working on just improving myself. So help us improve ourselves a little bit before we go to the table with somebody else. You know, to me, my thought is, what do I bring to the table to this person? What does Hollis have to offer this person? Is Hollis a good match because? So kind of give us an idea. Because I think, to me personally, before I wanted to get into a relationship, I wanted to bring something to the table. I want to sit there and say, hey, if you go in with Hollis, he brought something to the table to make us both stronger. Does that make sense to you?
It makes perfect sense. Actually, there's a saying that I actually really, really love. It's that relationships are actually mirrors of ourselves. So whoever
yeah.
We attract them to actually work on a particular aspect of ourselves. And so what is important to do is that once before attracting the right person for us, it's always important to be centered and to be complete from within. And by complete from within, I'm going to talk a little bit about the masculine-feminine energy dynamics. They've been already talked about for a long time. But what I believed in my research that was important to mention is that we are a blend of both. We are both masculine and feminine. It's not one or the other. It's all about the gray dance in the end. So in order to find the right person outside of us, our right partner, we need to find the one inside of us. Hence, by balancing our feminine and masculine energies inside of us, this is actually when we are able to find the right partner outside of us. Because we would come from a place of being fulfilled and complete and whole, and we won't have this needy vibe. We would be in a sense of, I want you, not I need you. So I'm complete by myself, and I want to be with you because I want to enjoy and grow together.
That's outstanding. Yeah. And that word is so important, like you just said, I want instead of need. You know what I mean? And sometimes you start off in a relationship that way, I want. And then all of a sudden it turns from maybe it got physical and everything's got good. All of a sudden now it becomes a need. All of a sudden it becomes obsession. All of a sudden it becomes very, you know, the jealousy and stuff like that. How do you, you know, and again, it may be out of your wheelhouse, but how do you work on yourself where you don't get so needy, you don't get so jealous, you don't get so possessive in a relationship? Because those are just horrible things, and it leads to horrible situations. Is there tips or ways of how we can fix ourselves where we aren't so obsessive, aren't so jealous, aren't so needy?
Yes. Well, actually, personal growth and growing ourselves is a lifelong journey. Mm. It's not a one shot and that's it. And so what happens is that along the way, we keep on attracting people that will tend to reflect on issues that we are going to be working on. So, for example, you mentioned jealousy. You mentioned other traits. So the best way to do, and during the relationship, the relationship always changes. It's dynamic. So it's not like we get, let's say, married or in a relationship and that's it. This is how it's going to go all the way. Those are going to be ups and downs. Life is going to get in the way. Some people, one of the partner might lose their job. They might move out. They might travel abroad. There are lots of changes in everyday life. So this actually affects the relationship. So this is in a way why we might tend to start as in wanting, but the more we get attached to the person, the more we kind of lose ourselves because we tend to get lost in this vastness. So one thing that would be important is to always remember to center ourselves. So it's important to center ourselves in the sense that, yes, we are in a relationship, but it's not about being codependent. It's about being interdependent. So we are two individuals in a relationship. We have a lot of common activities. We do a lot of things together, but it's also important to have our alone time, our personal time, and it's in this alone time, in this moment, where we can actually recenter, we can refocus, and once we refocus, we actually can remove this needy vibe because we actually connect more. We can connect with our higher self, with God, or any spiritual aspect or the universe or whatever we believe in that's higher than us, or the energy for people that are more into science, depending on what we believe in. So this is where we can actually reconnect. And once we reconnect, this is when all the needy vibe can go away.
Hey, George, you talk about relationships, and we're doing, you know, we see that wonderful person across the alley, across the bar, or whatever, or across the gym, whatever. You're dating, things are going well. In your opinion, when is it a good time to bring up the money issue? Because right now, I read a study last week, women find men attractive who has good credit scores. I mean, it may sound funny, but this is because most relationships end, a lot of marriages end because of money issue. When is it when you start to date is a good time to bring up, hey, am I getting into a situation where you are bringing a lot of baggage to the table? You have creditors looking, hunting you down, stuff like that. And your thoughts, when is it a good time to bring up the money issue?
Thank you for this amazing question. One thing that I would say it depends. There's no one right answer. It depends on the age of the partners. It depends if they want to get like married directly. It depends if they're, like, for example, teenagers or in their 50s. Or it depends on which level or stage of our life we are at and what we want to do. If we want to settle down, for example, and like get married, then I would say depending on the dynamic as well, within 3 to 6 months would be a good idea to start bringing this up and to talk about it. But I would like to clarify as well one thing. In general, according to the research that I did, in general, women are actually attracted to the masculine energy in the man, and the man is actually attracted to the feminine energy in the woman. So with that in mind, and masculine energy is all about status and power and dominance, so hence, money is an indirect byproduct of masculinity.
Outstanding. Okay, let's go to age now. I'm over 50. You know, I'm looking. You know, I'm going to get that relationship back up there. Is there certain places, because I said to me, to be honest, to me, I want to find Miss Wright at the gym that I work out at. I don't go to bars anymore and stuff like that, so I do go to the gym, and I would love to find somebody at the gym. At least we have one thing in common. We go to the gym. Where are, if you're over 50, where are places good to go to kind of meet the Miss Wright? What's your thoughts about that?
I'm going to answer your question from my own personal experience. So I always used to thought that we can, for example, in my case, to find the right partner in bars and all those places. But actually, once I started working on myself, and really be centered and know exactly what type of partner I want. Of course, not in the detail, as in I want her to have long hair, blah, all those stuff. It's more like, for example, I want her to be spiritual. I want her to be into personal growth. I want her to have a growth mindset. And so I started listing all those attractive qualities that I wanted to find in my own partner, and I actually found her. So the way I found her was I went into doing activities that I loved. So this is very, very important. So basically, I went into a Kabbalah center. It's a spiritual center, and this is where I found her. So I would say, in short, depending on the first thing that it would be to dress down the list that people want in their partners, and then they should go and do the activities that they love. It might be already seen, but it's really true.
Outstanding. Hey, our special guest today is the author of The Great Dance of Love by George Ammann. As I said, great guides. And again, with all the stuff out there, you know, online stuff. Oh, before we go to break, do you believe of online dating? What's your thoughts about online dating? Because it's positive. I mean, I've heard stories of people disconnecting, doing great things. Then I've heard horror stories. What's your thoughts, George, about online dating?
I'm always going to answer with the great answer, hence the great dance of love. So in my opinion, it's a blend of both. It depends on what people are looking for in the online dating sphere. In general, it's good. It can be good depending on what you're looking for, and so it's mainly what you're depending on what you're looking for.
Okay.
So it can be good and it can be less than good.
George, can you please tell us what do we go after this show to follow up with you to get your book? What URL do we follow? Go ahead.
Yeah, so you can go to www.greydanceoflove.com. So it's GREYDANCEOFLOVE.com.
Outstanding. What do you think the state of our relationships is today? Because I think there's so much confusion out there with dating and stuff like that, and maybe the same sex dating is really confusing. What do you think the state of our dating life is now in our society, and your thoughts?
So I'm going to answer your question. In the book, actually, I do talk about three stages of relationships.
Mm.
And we have the first stage, which is the passionate stage, where you have the most intense hormones that are at play. This is where, like, the lovey-dovey phase, the really passionate phase. You have the second phase, which is actually the more of the friendship or the calming down phase, or where partners start to actually know each other better. They start to see each other's flaws, and there's actually a shift in dynamic in this phase. And then there's the third stage, which is the great dance, the dance, the balance stage. Sorry. And it's actually, thank you. And it's actually the most beautiful stage to be in. So we actually, all of us, dance between all those three stages, depending on which stage we are in of our relationship.
Outstanding. Hey, you say in your guide that we have eight characters of dating relationship. Can you go over some characters of your relationships? Please quickly, please go over that and share that with us.
Yes, actually, I love that question. It's actually one of my babies. So when I was doing all my research, I couldn't find anywhere relationship character types. So I actually constructed them after lots of research. It took me really a lot of time between the thinking and the way of creating the personas to the illustrations of them and everything. And the way they are is actually just like in the picture, where the characters dance between masculine and feminine and nature and nurture. So you have, for example, Mr. and Mrs. Bad Sparks, which are all about the passion, all about the sparks, all about the intense emotions, all about, and to give you an example about this kind of couple or this kind of dynamic, it's like the cheerleader and the captain of the rugby team. It's an extreme case. So this is one of the couples. Another relationship archetype is, for example, Mr. and Mrs. Nice, who were actually originally Mr. and Mrs. Bad Sparks. They had all this passion, but as their relationship developed, they actually, the dynamic changed. So once this dynamic changed, they kind of reversed the power. And Mrs. Nice Mare is actually more masculine. And then you have the kids, which are actually Mr. and Mrs. Friend Amore, who grew up with a masculine mother and a feminine father. And then you have, of course, the ideal romantic partners, the ultimate partners that we all want to be in and be, which are Mr. and Mrs. Grey Dance, who are actually a mixture of all those and who dance between passion and friendship at will.
Outstanding. I want you mentioned the Grey Dance. The Grey Dance is out of your book. It also is the cover. Can you please kind of paint that picture for our listeners who hasn't seen the book? What's that cover look like? And I think it's outstanding. The Grey Dance of Love. I love that. So kind of tell them what the book cover looks like.
Thank you. Yes. Actually, the whole idea of the cover is actually a heart. It's a mixture of a blue heart with a red spark. And the whole idea is the friction between the blue and the fire and the ice, blue and red, that actually collide together in order to create the spark. And it's actually the whole idea of the Grey Dance of Love. It's about the dance between passion and friendship, between science and alchemy, between fire and ice. It's this whole dichotomy or this whole this whole friction that actually creates what we are all looking for.
There you go. Thank you for sharing that. This book, this gut is outstanding. Okay, but I want you to pat yourself on the back. I want you to kind of pound your chest and say, why should we go and get your guidebook when there's so many others out there? What make your guidebook so different and so good? So go ahead. Promote it. Be excited about it. Tell us. Go ahead.
Thank you. So actually, I'm going to mention 3 points. The first point is that it's the first and only guide that actually takes people on a step-by-step guide from where they are to where they want to be. There are already step-by-step guides in personal development, but I haven't seen anyone in relationships. So basically, I take people from where they are to where they want to be, whether you are single and you want to be in a passionate relationship. If you have been friend-zoned and you want to go out with your friend and create a passionate relationship as well, or if you have been in a relationship for years, whether you're married or not, and you actually want to rekindle the sparks which have gone after a while, I also take you on a step-by-step guide to create a passionate relationship. So this is the first point. The second point is actually the 8 characters archetypes that I created. So it's like, for those of you who are familiar with Myers-Briggs personality test, I'm actually working towards that goal. I have soon you can join on the website and take the quiz to discover which of the 8 characters you are. It's going to be a beta version, of course, but later on it's going to be more like Myers-Briggs personality test. And the third point is that I haven't seen books that actually talk to both men and women. So yes, there are other books, very few of them, that actually talks to men and women, but not the way I did it. So the way I did it is like, I do take into consideration that when we are in a relationship, it's not about two single people going into a relationship. So the few authors that have actually talked about relationship books from a perspective of both men and women talk about relationships through a single perspective. So it's like two single people coming into a relationship. I talk about it in a different way. So it's not like you versus me. It's more like we are in it together. How can we help each other out? Not how can we fight each other. It's not me versus you. It's us together.
Outstanding.
So those are the
three
points I would say.
And thank you for sharing that. We appreciate that. And that really does prove why your guy is different and better. That's outstanding. Okay. Now you paint a great picture of couples together. We got together. We meet places where we want to meet and stuff like that. Everything's going well. But in the back of our minds, and this happens and it messes things up, why we cheat and why men and women are cheated on and how to avoid it. So that's the point where it may pop into each other's heads sooner or later in a relationship. How do we avoid it and why do we do it? Cheating.
Yes. So it's actually a beautiful question. And the short answer is, it all depends on our needs. So whenever one of our needs are not met, this is when we actually go and cheat. And in general, I'm generalizing, it happens to be like mainly the physical and the emotional needs. So whenever our physical needs, so if we don't have enough sex, we would go and cheat. And if we are not really listened to emotionally, then we also tend to go and cheat. So those are the two main causes that lead us to cheating.
Now, you say this sex-wise, is there a point where conversations beforehand? And so say the spouse or the other person just not needing to have sex 4 or 5 times a week. What do you do? I mean, again, we don't want to cheat. We love the person to death. We want to keep it stable, but maybe that one person wants it more than the other person. Is there an adjustment to that? Do you go to counseling for that? Maybe reduce or bring it up? Or what do you think? What do you do?
Okay, so first, we are all human beings. As the relationship evolves, it changes. So we might start like being like rabbits at the beginning, but then as the hormone starts to like changing, we start to want to have less sex because also life gets in the way. We have lots of other stuff to do. So what we can do is, it's important to plan. It's important to actually really do the gray dance. So there is, for example, plan sex and there's adventure sex. And those are two types of sex that are different and very, very important. So if one of the partners do not want all the time, and this would happen because, for example, to give you an example, when a woman gets pregnant, for example, and she's going to be delivering her baby, her hormones start to change. So she starts to become more masculine in order to protect the child. And this might lead to a reaction with the partner. And she would, some of the women might want to have less sex, and it's very normal. So in this situation, it's important for the man to be patient. It's important to really be understanding so that once she feels better, then they could pick up on where they left off. So it's all about dancing. There are going to be stages where sex is going to be amazing. There are going to be stages where it's going to be a bit less, which is all part of life.
You know, my problem, yeah, I'm just using me for example, back because I had a single family household. I was raised by a mother, so I never got to see the communication between a husband and wife and talking about finances, talking about sexual situations, this and that. So after sometimes in my relationship, didn't communicate enough. And I look back now how important it was to have communication and talk about things, you know, everything. You know, how's your day and how's this going? Yeah, I mean, sexually, yeah, more or less, whatever. How do you feel? How do I make it feel better? Stuff like that. In your research, you talking to different people, how do you improve upon yourself when you haven't really been through that growing up? I mean, do you just go to counseling? Do you just sit there? I mean, right now, luckily compared to now, you can go online and kind of look at videos and kind of learn some stuff compared to when I was growing up when it wasn't there. It just a single family household, just a mom raising where she has to be the dad and the mom and this and that, you never saw that interaction. You never saw that, how do you handle this? You never saw that, oh, I had a tough week, how do you handle that? What do you say to the people that way when they grow up in a one person or one parent household?
It's always going to be tough. I have to say it. It's tough because we haven't got love the way we wanted it to. So it's more it's very difficult. And at the same time, it can be a blessing because by being brought up this way. What happens is that we tend to really want to find the solution. We really want to go the extra mile and really understand ourselves and others better and really do more research and more work on it. And so the more we start doing all this work, the better we become at it. So we might even surpass people that actually take things for granted and actually are from a very loving family, let's say. And so I would say it's very important to have mentors as well. So
yes.
Coaching can help a lot as well by having the right coaches that can guide you on a step-by-step guide. This would help a lot. People that have been through what you've been through before you, they can really help you with that.
Outstanding. That's great information. Hey, George, before we get to the final question, please tell us again, where do we go to find a great book, The Great Dance of Love? Where do we go?
You can go to the website, www.greatdanceoflove.com, greatdanceoflove.com, and you can also find it on Amazon.
Outstanding. Hey, the final question, I just realized I did not send it to you to get a look at it, but my question to you is, in closing, is you've done so much research and you're doing great things for couples and people about their relationships and stuff, and we really love that. When it's all said and done down the line, when you and your spouse is walking on a beach, what does George want to be remembered for professionally?
I want to touch people and help them. I want to spread love, and I want people to be touched by it and actually really be beacons of light and start spreading love themselves. In short, I really want to have more love in the world.
Outstanding. That works. George, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it so much. Great stuff. Keep on pushing that book because we need it. We need more love in the world. This world is crazy. So many things going on, but thank you so much for doing what you're doing, and we'll talk to you real soon, sir.
Thank you so much, Hollis. It was great talking to you.
Thank you, George. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great book, guys. The Great Dance of Love by George Armand. Okay, please follow up. Okay, with all the stuff out there, we know it. Check out George's book, The Great Dance of Love. You got some great insights and stuff, and kind of, you know, nothing hurts. If you're single, you're looking for that significant other, it's best to sit there and do what you can to get yourself in a good place. You make yourself feel good. And if you feel good, you're in a good place. Whew, that's a great catch. You know what I'm saying? That's a great catch. You don't want to go to somebody or try to go with somebody, and all of a sudden you're down in the dumps, things aren't working out, you're just negative, this and that. You don't want that. So work on yourself. Okay? Work on yourself. Be a great catch. Be that great one. Be that one. Great show today. The Great Dance of Love by George Armand. Follow up. Go to Amazon. Pick up the guidebook. So when you're ready to go out there, you have a step-by-step guide to find a love that lasts. That's awesome. Thank you, everybody, for joining the show today. We'll be here next week, as always, 10 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. And again, this show is sponsored by audibletrial.com/Hollis Chapman Show. Also, Papa John's. They're doing some nice promotions with us, stuff like that. So, hey, check it out. You can see it on our homepage. Make sure you order for your food from Papa John's this weekend for your games. Use promo code MVRC. And a percentage of that order goes to veterans in need. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody. Come back next week. Those great guests, all right? As always, I'll see you next time.